85% of the salvation decisions made today are made by young people. That's why Jesus said, you have to understand the gospel as a little child. Because little children don't have all the baggage that we have. They can come to the faith a lot easier than the seasoned vets sometime. We need to thank God for the treasure that we have in our midst.
Yes.
Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Stand with me this morning and turn to John chapter 3.
Right.
It's probably a familiar story to most of us. John chapter 3. And we'll be doing verses 1 through 7. John 3, chapter and verses 1 through 7. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Shall we read in unison? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, this is my final check-in with you before I speak to your people. I ask that you anoint me and fill me today with the words that will bless, minister, and deliver your people, Father. Don't let them see you kill me, but let them see you. Those that have come into this place,
yes,
burdened and heavy laden, as the minister said, we cast that at your feet this morning. Heal your people, deliver your people, and set them free this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To all of the clergy this morning, our senior pastor, and Minister Barnwell, and Minister Gray, and Minister Davis, and all that are present in the house this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Especially our abundance of visiting friends with us this morning. We value your presence today. Good morning and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
So last Saturday, I'm parked in the parking lot at Beechwood Place. And I was parked a few spaces away from a young man who looked to be maybe in his 20s, who was having trouble getting his car started. So when he sees me pull into the place, he walks over and he asks if I have a set of jumper cables. Unfortunately, I didn't. Now, had I known how long we were going to be at the mall, I would have just called AAA for him, but I thought by the time they showed up, we might be gone. So I just sat there and I continued reading. Matter of fact, I was just reading the text that we just read. And every once in a while, I look up and I see how things were going with him, and he was just having all kinds of trouble. He made several phone calls, couldn't seem to get any help, and nothing was going his way. Then a few minutes later, I look up, and this car speeds into the space next to me. And this older lady, who looked at me maybe in her middle 60s, maybe even 70, she gets out of the car, she opens her hood, she pops open her trunk, and she pulls out a set of jumper cables. And she walks over to him, kind of brushes them aside, like, "Move, son, I got this." And she takes the cables and connects them to both cars, tells him to get inside the car and start it up. So he gets inside the car, turns the key, and guess what happens? Nothing. Click, 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 click. That's all you heard. So he comes out of the car, she whispers something to him. She checks under her hood again, tells him to get back in. He turns the key and the car starts up. And I'm sitting there with my jaw hanging out because I can't believe what I just saw. Somebody's grandmother just came to the rescue of this guy in his 20s and got his car started. Mm. I found that amazing. Mm. And I'm sure he did too. Mm. But what I really saw in it was some life application for us, especially as it pertains to this text. Mm. First, to our candidates of baptism. Two of them are walking in right now. To those of you that are new in the faith, I want you to realize that you will not make it on this Christian journey by yourself.
That's right.
God's going to have to send you some help sometimes.
That's right.
And often that help is going to come from places where you didn't expect it. Second thing is, I'm sure this young man walked away from that encounter with his older lady the same way Jesus walked. Same way Nicodemus walked away from Jesus. Because both of them had very similar experiences. This young guy had a really flashy sports car. He had something that most people would want. I'm sure he worked hard for it. And he relied on it to get him to his destination. However, as cool and as impressive as his flashy car was, it was unable to get him where he needed to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that made him like Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 1 of our text says that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. Means he was a religious leader. It also says he was a ruler of the Jews. Mm-hmm. Meaning he was a political leader. Mm-hmm. He had impressive credentials. And I'm sure he worked very hard to get those. In verse 10, if you keep reading this chapter, in verse 10, Jesus calls him a master of the law. So while the Bible uses terms like Pharisee and ruler and master of the law to describe what a big shot Nicodemus was, we will use all those words today. We just call him a baller. That's what he was. He had power, he had prestige, he had influence, he had knowledge that most people don't have. But when he came to Jesus, he learned that none of that was able to get him where he needed to go.
All right.
And that made him just like the man in the parking lot.
I get your picture.
See, both of these men, although they were separated by 2,000 plus years, they learned the same lesson. Mm. It's the lesson that each of us needs to learn. In order to get to where we need to go, we need a jump start.
That's right.
Yes.
We need to be connected to Jesus. We need to be connected to his power. So his spirit and his anointing flows into the dead places in our life and brings life. Amen. See, the young man in the parking lot, he relied on his flashy car to get him where he needed to go. But it failed him. Mm-hmm. Nicodemus relied on his credentials and his status to get him where he needed to go.
Uh-huh.
But it failed him. Sometimes you and I depend on our jobs, our degrees, our bank accounts, our family members, and far too often our religion to get us where we need to go. But when we get into real trouble and have the real challenges of life, we find that those things fail us too. See, there's two questions that we have to ask in life. Where are we going and how are we going to get there?
All right.
Religion's not going to get us there. Mm-hmm. I stood up in a church wearing a robe in a pulpit and said that religion will fail us. I didn't say faith will fail us. I said religion will fail us. Because like Nicodemus, too many of us think that our status within the church our position within the church, our titles within the church, and the fact that we just show up at church is going to enable us to enter into the kingdom of God. But religion does not lead to righteousness. Only a relationship with the redeemed can lead to righteousness. See, I don't think that we fully understand what religion is. Religion is a set of rules. It's a set of rituals. It's a set of routines that we follow in an attempt to enter into the kingdom of God. And if religion could do that for us, Jesus would have never had to leave heaven to come to earth. He would have never had to shed his blood and die on a cross. He would have never had to be buried and rise again on the third day. None of that would have been necessary because the law of Moses and animal sacrifices and the Ten Commandments and all those other things would have been enough to save us. But God sent his son to show us there is no set of rules, routines, rituals, or regulations that we can follow that will be acceptable, that will make us acceptable in the sight of God. And that was the whole point of the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. See, we all have choices to make in life. And one of the most important choices concerns, who are we going to listen to? We can listen to what religion tells us, or we can listen to what the Word of God tells us. And we have to listen carefully, because religion sounds good, and it sounds reasonable at times. Here's an example. Religion will tell us there's four things that you have to do to obtain righteousness. It tells us we have to join church. We got to get baptized. We got to take the right hand of fellowship. And we have to work in the church. And that sounds good because those are things that we ought to do. But here's the difference. The Word of God tells us we can't do those things to obtain righteousness, but we will do those things because we already have it. See, we don't join church to get to Jesus. We join church because we have a relationship with him and want to worship him with other believers. We don't get baptized to get to Jesus. We get baptized because we accept him and want to publicly acknowledge his death, burial, and resurrection. We don't take the right hand of fellowship to get to Jesus. We do it as a sign that we are connected and committed to the members of God's family. We don't work in the church to get to Jesus. We serve him in obedience so we can minister to others and show the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts. Because we remember that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, dead in our trespasses and sin, he gave us the jump start and set us on our way. Religion tells us what to do, but relationship is the reason that we do it. In order to move from religion to relationship, there really are four things we need to do. We need to come, we need to confess, we need to commit, and we need to connect. Now let's talk about those four things. We need to come. The first thing we need to do is we need to come. Verse 2 of our text says that Nicodemus came to Jesus. Now when you do a study of this text and you read all the commentaries and all the analysis and listen to all of the sermons people have preached about this text, don't get hung up on the fact that Nicodemus came at night. So what? So it doesn't matter when you come to Jesus, it doesn't matter where you come to Jesus. Just come. Just get to him. Does anybody remember that old Aaliyah Adams song? I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. Nicodemus came, and he came because he wanted to know more. That's why people come. People need to know more. People are looking and they're searching for the real answers of life. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was not an ordinary rabbi, but he wanted to know more. Nicodemus wanted a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. How many people really want a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. How many people really want that fellowship with Jesus? See, too often we seek his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, and not his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T. We want his presence, but we don't want his presence. See, when we come into his presence and we experience his glory, we're forever changed. Coming to Jesus will challenge and change your way of thinking and our perception of what righteousness is all about. See, Nicodemus thought he already knew what righteousness was all about. And he knew, he just knew in his mind how he was going to make it to heaven. But coming to Jesus changed his perception. When Jesus responded with the five most important words ever uttered, "You must be born again."
All right.
I know you big time. I know you got some money. I know you cute, or at least you think you are. And I know you got a little education. But I came this morning to tell you none of that matters because you must be born again.
Yeah.
You need the power. You need the revival. You need the jump start that can only come through the new birth and establishing a relationship with and connection to Jesus. Think back to that parking lot. The lady took a battery that had power and connected it to a battery that was weak. Got the jump start. See, some people think they don't need them. Some people think they're doing all right on their own. Some think they can choose their own path to righteousness. But Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't wrap his mind around that concept. He didn't understand how being born all over again was going to help him, but he was trying to apply a physical solution to a spiritual problem. And we do the same thing. He had questions and he needed some answers. And by taking, and he got those answers because he was able to take the first step and come to Jesus. Like any other journey, our Christian journey involves more than one step. We got to take the first step and come to Jesus, but we got to take the second step and confess.
All right.
Confess what? Confess you're a sinner. Confess that you need him. Confess your need for a Savior. Confess that you can't make it on your own. Romans 10, 9, and 10 tells us that we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then we will be saved, born again, and have our eternal destiny sealed. The Bible says that our believing is what leads to righteousness, and it's our confession that leads to salvation. So we got to take the first step, and we got to come. And we got to take the second step and confess. We need to take the third step and commit. Jesus said in verses 3, verse 5, and verse 7, that we must be born again. For him to say it three times, it has to be important. When he said that, he means that we have to make a commitment to him. And that's what a day like this is supposed to be about. These four people joining a church and being baptized is not going to get them into heaven any more than me tattooing Cadillac on my body. And standing in a showroom is going to make me an Escalade. See, what they're doing isn't about today. It's about a lifetime commitment. Just like a wedding ring, baptism is an outward sign of an inward commitment. It's about them living out the words of 1 Corinthians 15:58, which say, "Therefore, my brother, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord." See, those of you that are just beginning your walk with Christ, as well as those of us who have been on the journey for a long time, We really need to think about the significance of those words. So sing it with me. Steadfast.
Steadfast.
Unmovable.
Unmovable.
Always abounding.
Always abounding.
Steadfast means to be unwavering and determined in your purpose. Unmovable means fixed in one place, position, or posture. Always means continuously, forever, uninterrupted. See, our commitment to Christ calls for us to be steadfast, unmovable, and forever, always, uninterrupted, continuously dedicated to Him. See, too many people start on this journey that they sit in your seat where you are right now, they do what you're doing today, and then they drop out.
Yeah.
Don't be another statistic. Mm-hmm. Here's a statistic. Did you know that over the past 10 years, since 2001, 50 million people have left the church? 50 million. That's 5 million people every year, or nearly 100,000 people a week that are disconnecting from the church. That's a hint and a half. There's a problem somewhere. See, when things get tough, when life gets hard, when challenges and trials arise, you too might want to give up. But you can't, because you got to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you going to face some difficult days? Of course you will. Is the devil mad that you've taken this step? Oh, yeah. Are people going to talk about you like a dog? Will there be some days you wish you hadn't have done this? Maybe so. But remember, when those days come, you got to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You have a calling. But most important, you have a Savior that promises to never leave you or forsake you. I want you to remember the words of Philippians 1:6 that say that we have confidence in the fact that He that which began the good work in us will see it through and perform it until the day that Jesus returns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as you sit here this morning and you hear the word of the Lord, know that you've taken the first step, but make sure you've taken the second step and confess, and the third step and commit it. Because without those, you can't do the fourth step, which is connect.
Mm-hmm.
See, three of you have recently joined, and one of you was already a member. But don't think that's all there is to making a connection. You join the church, but make sure that you really join Jesus.
Amen.
See, joining the church is more than just adding your name to the membership book. You're making a real connection to real people. Not only are you committing and connecting to Jesus, but you're connecting to His family.
Yes.
See, connecting with each other is part of our born-again experience. You can't separate connecting to Christ from connecting with the saints. You can't do that. You can't separate that. 1 John 3:14 and 15 tells us that we know we've passed from death to life and gotten that jump start because we love the brethren.
Yes.
He that loves his brother abides. He who loves not his brother abides in death. We need to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the reason why is because when you come into the church, we're here to encourage and uplift one another.
Mm.
When you gather here with other believers, it's an opportunity to come together and worship and fellowship and love. When you come to church, you're not supposed to be beat up.
Mm.
You're supposed to be built up.
Yeah.
But that can't happen if you disconnect and you're staying home every week. You need to be connected. We need to be connected to each other because God has made us responsible for the same five things. We have a purpose to live for. We've got God's people to live with. We've got God's principles to live by. We have a profession to live out. And we got God's power to live on. Mm. The church is your spiritual support group because you can't do this by yourself. Mm. The good news is that you don't have to. Mm. When we try to do this on our own or by ourselves, it's like having that dead battery. We're not going to get where we need to be.
Mm. Yet.
We need to jumpstart. Mm. We need the infusion of power that can only come from being born again and having that relationship to and connection with Jesus Christ and his church. And I know a lot of you are here today because you got an invitation on Facebook or somebody called you on the phone, tell you what was happening this afternoon. And we're glad you're here. But I'm about to extend a more important invitation. The invitation I'm going to extend, if you enter into a life-changing, bondage-breaking, soul-cleansing, devil-defeating relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way to get from where you are now to where you need to be is by connecting to Jesus Christ. Religion's not going to get you there. Having your name written in the membership book is not going to get you there. Having your name written in heaven will.
All right. That's right.
And that only happens when you come to Jesus, confess him as Lord,
yes,
commit to him, and connect.
Yeah.
If you're still like Nicodemus and you're confused about what all this means, I invite you to come in. I'm going to pray with you and help you make the most important decision of your life. If you've already committed to Jesus, but for some reason you're not connected to a local church, we also invite you to come at this time.
Over there.
God. Hallelujah.
The invitation still stands. If you have one more, one more, two more, three more.